This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Yes, guys, it is that time of the week for Joy's very own show about pets, Pets Allowed. Thank you so much to Jim for the news and fabulous Leo for delivering yet another morning of fantastic tunes. Also, welcome to Alan, our senior veterinarian at the Frank Sanways Veterinary Clinic. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. It's been a few weeks off for
you
there, Alan.
Ages. I think it's been like 3 or 4 weeks, but it's good to be back.
It doesn't mean that you have not been run off your feet and busy.
No, we have been run off our feet. The clinic's been really, really busy. It always starts to get busy at this time of year in the run-up to summer and Christmas. So we've been kept out of trouble.
That's good. And so today we're going to keep on the activity here on Pets Allowed. It's Walk to Work Day. And today on Pets Allowed, we're working on our sweatbands and getting active.
There are a number of physical and emotional benefits of regularly and consistently exercising your pets, from increasing the sense of well-being, decreasing boredom, and keeping tabs on their weight. Dogs and cats of all ages, sizes, and breeds benefit from exercising.
So on the program today, we discuss ways you can help your pooch and feline friends stay in tip-top shape. Care to share your tips on pet-sizing? get involved.
We always like to hear from you. So don't forget you can SMS us on air 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Pets Allowed. Have your say. Email now on air at joy.org.au.
Also coming up on the program, Alan, you'll be taking us through some tips on, you'll be taking us through the physical and behavioural benefits of exercising and also giving us tips on how to exercise with our pets.
That's right. And we will be hearing about the Frank Sanways Veterinary Clinic Slimmers Club Guide to Exercising Your Pet.
Tracy, the proud owner of two very active and boisterous border collies, will share her conventional and not so conventional ways in staying fit with her pets.
And we will get some tips on how to convince your dog to successfully walk on a lead.
We'll also look at parvovirus.
And as usual, at the tail end of the program, we will have dog dates.
It is a big show ahead.
Sounds like quite a list.
There's a lot to get through, Alan, and we are going to be clearly breaking a sweat. This is Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Pets Allowed.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
This segment, we sort of look at the news that made the week on our website. And one particular story I think will be of use to our listeners is one we did about dog walking. And really, Alan, there's nothing so rewarding as going out there with your dog and having a good walk without engaging in tug of war.
Yeah. And so basically this story on the website, it gives you lots of good advice about how to pick the right sort of equipment. So the right collar, the right perhaps harness, because certain types are good for big dogs and other ones are much better for little dogs. And then it gives you some background in how to train your dog to walk properly and sensibly on a lead. And it's, you know, it's much more pleasurable and much more enjoyable if you can get your dog out there behaving itself and have fun together.
Definitely, not only for you, but also for them. So just a couple of the tips in the article. Number one, you need to be purchasing the right collar and the right lead. So do a bit of investigating into that. Number two, put on the collar correctly. Yeah. There's a ring that you need to hook the lead onto.
Yeah.
So make sure that it's right in the right spot.
So, and make sure it's the right size. So things like head collars that fit over the nose are good for large, strong dogs. Harnesses with a clip on the back are good for little dogs, but harnesses with a clip on the front give you much more control if you've got a large, strong dog. So it's just a question of picking the right equipment.
And would you suggest people to speak with their vet or their dog trainer about
certainly vets, dog trainers, dog obedience clubs are all good sources of advice.
Holding the lead's another one. Just making sure that you've got a good grip on the lead.
Yep. And, you know, also you want to stop your dog pulling. So you need to, tr- you you want to train them to walk calmly beside you, and you want to be in control.
Definitely. There is the loose lead technique that's listed in this story, so do check that out. Also, another tip is to be confident, but not to be mean to them. So still reinforce them with, you know, positive gestures and tone in your voice, but also treats.
Yep. Always carry treats. You know, it's a really good way of keeping out of trouble and getting them to do what you want them to do.
And, of course, take with you that doggy bag. Need to take that. If you're going for an extended walk, you know, take some water and obviously some treats. Plan your trip well too. Don't head out in really hot weather. Yeah. Like I did the other day, I decided to ride my bike in a 30-degree day back home and got home really exhausted. So try and plan that out.
So that's not the plan.
But, do check out the article. It is on our website at dogshome.com. Now it's time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
It is indeed, Alan. We have a very, very sweet little cat as our Pet of the Week. Take it away.
We do. We have Holly, who is a black and white, about three-year-old domestic shorthair cat. She's really, really pretty. And it being November, she's a black cat. She's got a striking white moustache and almost looks like a little black goatee. She looks like she's got a tux on. She's black all over with white chin and four white paws. She's very friendly. She loves pets. She's at our North Melbourne shelter. You can contact us there on 93292755. Her ID number is 949534, and you can see her online at dogshome.com.
Now, also the other good thing about her, Holly, is that she gets along with other cats. So if you do have another cat, that's in her profile. So that's a good thing to sort of look out for. And the good thing about our profiles is that they include all that information, so you have a realistic idea.
Yeah, and it's good to come in and meet them. You know, if you go in and meet her, you can get her out. We've got an area where you can perhaps have a play with her and just see if she suits you.
Excellent. All right. Well, look, that was our Pet of the Week. If you did miss our ID number, we will repeat it at the end of the program. But for now, we are going to take a track. This is Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Daryl Summers. We love listening to Pets Aloud every Friday from noon.
Thank you there, Daryl. And all throughout the program today, Alan and I are chitty-chatting about staying fit with our pets. We're right on that treadmill, aren't we, Alan, today? We're breaking a sweat for our pets.
Yep.
Now, I want to use this part of the program to pick your brains about some important things on pet health and exercising. So from your experience as a vet, what are the difference between dogs who receive appropriate exercise and regular exercise? Compared to those that don't?
It's just like people. Dogs and cats who exercise properly and normally, they tend to be healthier, they have better body weight, and they tend to be happier. They're much happier. They tend to be less frustrated. Dogs who don't get exercise and cats who don't get played with tend to get frustrated and they get bored, so they can end up being destructive or constantly attention seeking. So it can lead to all sorts of behavioral problems if you don't get them out and about. And again, having an animal who's socialized, who goes out and about regularly, it means that they are good with other people. You can depend on them. You know how they're going to react in all sorts of different situations.
And that behavioral aspect is so interesting because people would probably generally associate behavior affecting behavior.
Yeah.
But exercise, as you said, has a big component in improving behavior.
Yes, it's exercise and routine. That's what animals like, and that's what's really important. And if they don't have that, they get confused and frustrated and, you know, upset.
Does the same apply to cats?
Cats tend to be much less dependent on people for exercise. You know, they play a lot. They can play a lot by themselves, especially when they're little. But, you know, I think, again, especially with indoor cats, you definitely need to spend time playing with them and swapping toys around and just engaging them. Otherwise, they get bored.
And so what would you say the overriding health benefits of regular exercise for dogs?
Well, regular exercise physically, I mean, it helps prevent things like heart disease, arthritis, lung and airway disease. All these problems are exacerbated by carrying around excess weight. So, you know, if you're carrying a lot of fat, you can... the fat can kind of press on organs, so you've got less space for your lungs to fill, less space in your airways to breathe. So that's why short-nosed dogs like pugs don't do, they have problems breathing often in hot weather because, you know, it's just because there isn't enough space there. And obviously, if you've got arthritis, if you're carrying an extra 10 kilos of fat, that's going to make your bones hurt more. It's pretty simple.
Again, it's just like with humans, and it sort of, it pulls you back, I suppose, from getting out there and being motivated too.
Yeah. And I suppose, again, the behavioral things are really important. You know, behavioral problems, I think, are more and more common in dogs compared to, say, you know, maybe 40, 50 years ago, because they spent more time inside. Their lives are much more regimented. So that's why it's really important that we get them out and about there, get them socialized and keep them happy.
And so with older dogs, you can speak from personal experience with this, I suppose, as well as being a vet. They also need to be exercised.
Yeah, it's really good to keep them going. You know, it keeps them interested, and my really old dog still loves going out, even though she can't go very far. But you have to take it steady, you know, take it slowly, allow them to rest and recover. So if you take them to the park, you can sit around for a bit and just let them pad around and keep it regular. So they need the same amount of exercise every day. Routine is really, really important, especially with older animals.
What if you've got multiple dogs, for instance, and some of them are younger than one dog that's older? How do you maintain exercise?
Well, I suppose with mine, I've got three, and one is really old and the other two are sort of 9 and 10 and still really active. So we tend to take them out together. And if we go to the park, then the younger dogs can kind of run around, and they're really well bonded and they play a lot together. And the, you know, Prudence just potters around with us. And quite often, you know, as long as she has that one walk in the evening, she's happy. And quite often I'll take the other two out to the beach or something like that later on, and they can have a bit more of a run around.
Would you look at sort of holding her at certain times where she can't keep up?
Yeah, we quite often carry her now. She like, she used to go to the beach and do like the sort of 3K walk quite happily up until maybe 6 months ago, but now she can't really do that, and because she's little, we just carry her.
Yeah. And what about sick and injured dogs? I mean, we see so many, you know, that we obviously deal with in the vet clinic and the vet hospital.
Most sick and injured animals need to be rested up and kept quiet until they get better, because that's what they need to focus their energy on. And then when you start exercising them again, do it gradually. Probably follow veterinary advice. Your vet will be quite happy to give you a plan about what to do. And remember, things like hydrotherapy, physiotherapy are all really good in getting them going again.
Fantastic. And we will actually be talking about the benefits of exercising in water soon in the program as well. And finally, we are coming out of, you know, cooler months, heading into warmer weather. What do pet owners need to consider in terms of prepping their pets for exercise?
Well, I suppose age is the first one. We've talked about it a little bit. So if you've got older animals, start really gradually, see what they can cope with. Perhaps get them checked over before you, you know, you start doing too much. If you've got younger animals, you don't really want to exercise growing dogs vigorously and for a long time, because you need to wait until their bones and joints have finished growing, so you don't damage them. And again, building up gradually to prevent injuries, that's the most important thing.
Okay, well, we're talking all things exercising and pet fitness on Joy 94.9.
So the Slimmers Club is a new and free of charge pet Weight Watchers program at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic in North Melbourne, with the aim of arming pet owners with plenty of knowledge on their pet's dietary and exercise needs. It's an 8-week program which will help you get your pet to shed those excess kilos. Oz caught up with vet nurse Jeannie, who starts off here by going over the types of exercises recommended in the Slimmers Club program for obese and overweight dogs.
If you do have an overweight dog, it's really important that you don't start them off on too much exercise. It's really bad for their heart and their joints if they go too quick and too hard into an exercise program. So one of the things that we do recommend for really obese dogs is actually swimming, because it relieves the pressure on their joints because they're floating a little bit. So whether it's, you know, in the pool that you've got at home, down the beach, in a river, anything like that, just, you know, 10 minutes is really great for them, just to get them into it at the start of their exercise program.
And so how often would you do that?
Twice a week would be perfect to start off with, especially now that we're coming up to summer, you know, a great way to cool them off. But I mean, if you can do more than that, the more the better.
And would you integrate that with a bit of walking as well?
Yeah, definitely. The best way to do it would be 4 exercise sessions a week. So 2 swimming, 2 walking, or whatever you can manage, whether you do 4 swimming that week and 4 walking next week, as long as you do something.
And what would be the next step from there on? You know, how would you, what are the signs to notice that your dog is adapting really well and could take it that notch higher?
Yeah, good question. You'll see that when you do start the swing and that they're in there for 10 minutes, you'll notice that they're just so puffed and, you know, they've had a ball, but it's really strenuous on them. After maybe 2-3 weeks, you'll notice that they're not puffed, so you can extend the duration, you know, maybe do 20 minutes or half an hour. I've got a really fit dog at home, and we took her down to the beach the other day, and she was buggered after 30 minutes, but, I mean, we hadn't done it for a while. You can also lose that exercise or that...
level of fitness, I suppose,
yeah,
during winter.
You're making. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So getting them back into it, it's also important once you've, you know, slowed down your pace to get slowly back into it again.
Mm. I think that's a really good point. I mean, your dog doesn't necessarily need to be unfit, but coming off the back of winter, you might have slowed down a bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So easing into an exercise routine is probably a better thing rather than going full ball.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
yeah, and you'd be surprised how many dog-friendly beaches there are around. Mm. I'm from down Geelong way, but I took my little girl to Queenscliff the other day to a place called Narrow Beach, and it was a pristine, beautiful, clear water beach, and there was just dogs everywhere. But, you know, it's great socialisation for them. It's a great place to take them for training, you know, so they learn to listen to you for general commands as well, so they're not distracted. So there's heaps of benefits from taking them to the beach.
So that there was Jeannie giving us a few basic tips on exercising our dogs, particularly obese dogs. Now, you can check out our page, our profile page after the show for some a list of dog-friendly places to take your dogs, particularly beaches, at joy.org.au/petsallowed. Now, Alan, Jeannie talked there mainly about overweight and obese dogs. How can you tell if your pet is obese?
Well, ideally, you should be able to feel their ribs and spine, and you may actually be able to see the last couple of ribs depending on what shape they are. They should have a waist when you view them from above, and they should also have a waist when you look at them from the side, so they shouldn't be barrel shaped. Their ribs and spine, like I say, you should be able to feel them. Sometimes when they get really overweight, they get this fatty deposit on the base of their tail. So those are the main things.
And so how can you, particularly with the health implications, what are they, the main sort of health implications?
The main ones, like Jeannie said, heart and lung disease, because obviously you're putting extra stress on those organs, arthritis, and certainly, just like with people, if obesity is left long term, it can develop into diabetes.
Do check out our website. We do have plenty of information about obesity and dogs and cats. It's quite a serious issue, and we have looked at it in previous weeks. But if you do want more information, check out our website or even contact our shelter and vet clinic for more info. Now, cat lovers, don't fret, because right after we hear from Kylie, we're going to actually have some exercising tips that you can implement at home with your furry friend. This is Joy 94.9.
So before the track, Jeannie from our Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic Slimmers Club gave us some exercising tips for obese dogs. And she was talking about how the beach was a great way to give them low impact exercise. Now she's going to talk about our feline friends.
That's right.
And so let's talk about cats. I don't think they would enjoy the beach that much.
Definitely not.
What are some tips you offer to exercise cats?
Look, things like laser pens, great idea. Only problem with laser pens is your cat can tend to either become obsessive about it, like if it stops, oh my God, what's happened, where'd the dot go? Or they don't get as much an enjoyment out of the laser pen because they can't physically catch it. Cats like the feeling of, oh, yes, I got it. So that's where cat wands are great as well. I mean, it's more physical exercise for you, waving it around or chasing them around the house or whatever. But they get that opportunity to catch it and feel like they've done something good. We've got a new product in over at Frank Samways Clinic called the Deburred. It is a great product. It's funny because it actually helps with behaviour issues as well. If you've got a cat that's marking at home, 15 minutes a day with this toy, or just 15 minutes with any toy playing, gets them into a routine. So you say you've had your breakfast and you play 15 minutes with your cat, you can really notice a behavioural change in your cat if you set up a routine for them.
So how does it impact markings, though? Does it sort of detract them from...
Yeah, it gets them involved. It gets them to know that, you know, you have breakfast, then I play with my toy, then you feed me before I go. Okay, now I can sleep for 7 hours while you're gone, mm-hmm. and then maybe play with them again for 5-10 minutes when you get home. Setting a routine really helps with behaviours in cats.
Okay, so some other tips for exercising our cats.
Yep, so scratching poles. If you can get your cat to use it, great idea. They help lean the muscle, especially in the upper torso and arms. I mean, if you add some catnip, we've got catnip spray mm-hmm. or dry catnip powder that you can buy and add to your scratching posts. So that's a great way of exercise as well. And even, I mean, if you don't have toys at home, a scrunched up ball of paper. You know, yeah. just get the cat moving.
We've talked a lot about that on Pets Allowed, how cats can be quite frugal in that, yeah. you know, they don't really discriminate. You can scrunch up a bit of foil and they'll have yeah, just exactly. as much as fun sometimes.
Exactly.
So is that all really enough for them to have yeah, their definitely. Daily exercise? And how much of that would you recommend a day?
Look, again, 4 times a week would be great if you can do 4 15-minute sessions. Mm. But like I said with cats, it's best if they get a routine. So if you did 5-10 minutes of playtime at, I don't know, 2 in the afternoon every day, if you could manage that, or before or after breakfast, or whenever you've got time to do that, if you can set them into a routine, it's really going to help them if they have any behaviour issues as well.
That there was Jeannie from our Slimmers Club giving us some basic tips on exercising your furry friend, your cat. And if you're interested in the Slimmers Club, Alan?
Well, the first consultation will see your pet checked by a vet for any pre-existing conditions. You'll then be given a target weight, a detailed exercise program to follow, and a diet specifically tailored to your pet. The clinic is also offering fortnightly weigh-ins just to track how your pet is going. If you have any concerns about your pet's weight, get in contact with us at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic on 93292755, or visit in person at 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
I think that sounds like perfect timing leading into summer to sort of get on top of that. Mm. You're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9, and all throughout today's program we are talking about exercising and pets. I believe Joy is one of the highest podcasted community radio stations out there, and for a good reason. There's plenty of fantastic shows, and if you do miss out when it goes live to air, or if you can't stream it, you can certainly podcast it. And our podcast page is joy.org.au/petsallowed. And now you are on Pets Allowed, and it is myself, Oz, and Alan keeping you company. And all throughout the program today, we are talking pets and health. Now, I spoke with Tracy, who works in our fundraising office, and she's the proud owner of 2 really gorgeous border collies. But they actually
very active border collies.
They keep her very active, and I couldn't help but check in with her to find out what their exercise regime is.
Okay, Tracy, thanks for putting aside the time. I know you're very busy.
Pleasure.
I also know that you are very busy at home, not only at work, but also at home with your 2 very boisterous border collies.
Yes, I am.
How do you exercise them? What's your daily exercise routine?
Well, we like to go for big runs, so runs of maybe 10 kilometres or more. So we'll start off in an off-lead park, off the lead first, so they can actually, believe it or not, wear themselves out before they go on the lead to run 10 kilometres. So by the end of that, I'm exhausted, and they're still raring to go. We do that maybe 3 or 4 times a week.
Uh-huh.
So in between that, if we don't go for a run, because I have an older dog and he can't run that much all the time, we'll either play with the ball in the backyard, or we do a little bit of dog dancing.
Now, Kev has spoken about this quite a bit on the program, but it'd be nice to get another voice
yes.
on dog dancing. When did you get involved?
So I got involved with it about the same time as Kevin, so probably about a year now. I started with my youngest puppy. She's only maybe 6 months. And basically, it's a fun way to exercise with your dog when you don't want to, you know, go flat out and running. And it's a fun way. So you're training them as well as exercising. And it's quite good because you can incorporate lots of tricks to music. So it's, you know, fun. And it doesn't wear the dog out as much. And it keeps them entertained and happy. And then you can use your body to sort of get them to jump over, weave
oh, really?
Your legs.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's good fun.
And so in terms of how often you do that, would it be like once a week or...?
I know, we'll do that a couple of times a week. So,
oh, wow. So they're quite fully involved in it.
Yes, all the time. I'll do something with them every day. So whether it be even, you know, just a little bit of doggy dancing at home, 5 minutes with music, or if it's a big, you know, 10K run, we do something every day. Because if we don't, they become quite destructive. My youngest likes to pull washing off the line if she doesn't get enough exercise. And she likes to pace up and down the house inside and go and stand at her lead and then look over her shoulder and look at you.
So that's definitely a key question. So the benefits, obviously, there are lots of health benefits, but also behavioural benefits in exercising.
Yes, definitely. Lots of behavioural benefits for the dogs. Keeps them, you know, occupied. It takes their mind off all the naughty things they can do in the backyard because they're too tired to when they come home. And it's good for their fitness, for their mental well-being, and it's also good for my fitness and mental well-being.
They've certainly played a part, I think, in training you for some amazing marathons that you do,
yes.
One being the Tough Mudder.
Yes, yes, definitely. I think training two border collies is harder than Tough Mudder, though.
Really?
It's very rewarding, but it's challenging, but lots of fun.
Okay, so what would be just a couple of tips that you would give to people that are listening who do have an active dog?
Yep, so if you're not the sort of person that likes to go for runs like I do or exercise, it's quite good to be able to do something with them. So even if you just, you know, throw the ball for them, they love frisbees because frisbees can go in different directions than balls and they can try and catch it in midair. The dog dancing's, you know, really good for different sorts of exercise. And even just, you know, some basic training or what else I like to do, agility. So if you don't have somewhere where you can actually do agility as part of a dog club, you can go to a park and you can get them jumping over, you know, like the little fences they have at the parks, as long as, you know, they're safe. And I like to use the wooden ones, so just things like that.
Be creative.
Yes, be creative, have fun, and don't make it a drag. Make it something that you both like doing.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time, Tracy.
No problem.
That there was Tracy from our fundraising department at the Lost Dogs Home telling us a bit about her exercise regime with her very busy border collie.
Her busy pets. And fit border collies.
They are, and it works both ways. As we heard, Tracy does lots of marathons, but she also participated in the Tough Mudder. And if you're running 10Ks...
Four times a week,
that's got to be good training. All right. Well, look, that brings us to the end of our show in terms of pet exercise. But we are going to talk about something very important after this track, aren't we, Alan, about parvovirus.
That's right. So it's quite a severe condition, but it is preventable. And we've just been seeing a little bit more of it in the clinic recently.
All right. Let's check it out. But first, we're going to hear a track on Joy 94.9. You are indeed on Joy 94.9, and this is Pets Allowed, and it's about 7 minutes to 1. Now, Alan, we're going to be looking at quite a serious illness that affects dogs, and which we've seen sort of on the rise, really.
Well, just recently we've had a few more, over the last couple of weeks, we've had a few more cases of parvovirus than we would normally see. It's something that we often don't see for months and months at a time, but we've perhaps had 5 or 6 cases over the last couple of weeks come into the clinic.
And the thing is, starting from
basically it's a viral disease, and it causes really nasty vomiting and diarrhea. They get really depressed, really sick. And the thing about it is, it's easily preventable. So if you keep your dog's vaccinations up to date, they won't get it. So the vaccine's a really good product. It's gives very strong immunity. So it means that the reason we're seeing it is that there are dogs out there that haven't been vaccinated. So it is passed from dog to dog in the feces, and it can persist in the environment for quite a long time. So that's why it's really important that your dog is protected. So if you've let your vaccinations lapse, get down to your vet and have your dog vaccinated. That's the main thing.
And what happens when a dog comes to you with this condition?
Well, treatment is quite lengthy. It's involved, and unfortunately it's not always successful. So basically they have horrible diarrhea. They get really toxic because their guts get damaged and bacteria get into the system. So we put them on lots of fluids, really broad spectrum antibiotic, lots of intensive supportive care.
Yes.
Sometimes we give them plasma, which helps replace the fluid that they lose. But even with all that treatment, there are a percentage of dogs that won't make it through. So that's why it's really important to get the vaccinations done, and then everyone's safe.
Now, if you do want more information on parvovirus, again, there's lots of articles about it on our website, dogshome.com, or you could actually call our Frank Sunways Veterinary Clinic as well. The number for the clinic is 9329 2755, or visit in person, 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne.
Yeah, and if it's important to remember that once you have your dog vaccinated, it takes time for immunity to develop. So normally it's 2 vaccinations, 4 weeks apart, and they're not fully protected until 2 weeks after the second one.
Okay, some very, very important and handy advice there from Dr. Allen. Thank you for that.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
We have come to that time in the program to list all the fun events for your dogs this week or this month, Alan.
So the first one is Saturday, 10th of November, so that's tomorrow. It's Bayside Pet Expo, which is on at 76 Royal Avenue, Sandringham, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The National Pet Register will be there doing discounted microchips, which are $25. If you want to register for a microchip, you can do that at petregister.com. Bookings close at 3 o'clock today, so you need to get in there pretty quickly, and that is at Sandringham tomorrow from 10 to 2.
And also on this weekend, actually on Sunday, it's World Vegan Day, and there's going to be a huge event happening at the Melbourne Showgrounds from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's going to be plenty of stalls, food, cooking demos, live music all day, kids and family areas, talks and information, a bit of speed dating too, apparently. Unfortunately, it isn't a dog-friendly event. However, the stalls there are all pro-animal welfare and, you know, for people that absolutely love their pets. So it might be of interest to you. If you'd like to find out more information, check out wvd.org.au or check them out on Facebook, World Vegan Day Melbourne. So that sounds like a good event to go along to. Alan, what are you doing this weekend? Have you got any plans?
After this afternoon, I'm off on holiday for a week, so I'm not going anywhere, but I'm just going to hang out at home.
You're doing a stay vacation as well.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's the new thing, and look, Kevin's doing it. I did it for a few weeks. Melbourne is such a fantastic place to sort of hang out and catch up on things that you haven't done for a while.
Get ready for summer.
That's right. Go to some dog parks or dog beaches. It's certainly an awesome place to do that. Well, we're a few seconds away from 1 o'clock. I hope you've enjoyed Pets Aloud this week. Do stay tuned for some fantastic music throughout the day. We will be back next week, won't we, Ellen?
We will.
From 12. Mm-hmm. And our pet of the week, just a quick
was
reminder.
Was Holly, who's our black and white cat. She's 3 years old, really friendly, gets on with other cats. Her number is 949534, and she's at North Melbourne.
Fantastic. Well, have a great weekend, guys, and we'll catch you next week from 12.
We will see you then.
And don't forget to walk your dogs.
And pat your cats.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.